The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good afternoon. We're on Open Line, Man in Line today. Call 66 13 68. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell the island. Tell the world. Text 166 177. WhatsApp, same number, 166 177. But you'll need us in your contacts. And email studio at manxradio.com. Lots of messages we didn't get to yesterday. So. But interestingly, this thing you heard at the news, a group of residents on Ballinard Road, Norwood Drive and Manor Hotel Drive have started this community campaign against the proposed planning application by Douglas Council. Douglas City Council is looking to build a construction compound on the playing field next to the road while it carries out refurbishment of social housing stock. The residents are lodging an objection. A council sent a letter seen by Manx Radio to those households, whilst other properties adjoining the site weren't notified. Doesn't include timelines, a map, or details about the duration of the works. It does say the site will be temporary and will be made as inconspicuous as possible. It also confirmed the site will be needed for several years. The owner of the property closest to the playing field says if it goes ahead, there's going to be a massive impact on the people.
The problem that we're all having, which is going to affect, you know, the whole road, especially me that I live on the field and I'm the closest house to the field. The Douglas Borough Council, they're going to put a big compound on the field. They're going to turn it into a building site, basically, which is going to have a massive impact on everyone. Noise, light pollution, children won't be able to play there anymore, and people really rely on the field every day, and we're worried about that, really.
And you mentioned in this meeting that you'd had a previous meeting with one of the councillors themselves. Would you be able to speak about how that went?
Myself, I felt very deflated after that meeting, as well as my neighbours did as well, and my partner. They weren't very clear on their answers, why they were putting it there. It was basically, what I got from it is, we're putting it there whether you like it or not.
And what is the compound going to be used for? Do you know at the moment?
So the compound is going to be used for refurb of the whole Williston housing estate. They said it was going to be a temporary compound. We're more than aware it's not going to be a temporary compound. It's going to be more of a permanent one because it's going to go on for over 10 years.
Well, that's the resident. A young lad called Scott is 11 years of age. He learned to ride his bike on the field.
It means a lot to me because I tend to walk my dog there. I learned to ride my bike there. I play there with my friends. And when I play football, the football doesn't go into the road. It doesn't disturb anyone. And it's just a safe environment to play. Yeah, I'm going to try and use AI to generate a compound to estimate what it would look like using the plans.
Also at that meeting was Douglas Central MHK and call it.
I can really understand residents' concerns, and for me, really, it's about listening to those concerns and trying to help them with signposting, supporting them through whatever process has come now. I had no idea that this was proposed, so I rang the council and the planning department really to find out what was going on and what was being proposed. I think there may have been some crosswires. There was some confusion because a report had said that they were looking at a site on Greenfield Road, and as that turns out, it's not. It's the Greenfield on Ballinard Road. So there was some confusion, but we sorted that out, and council assured me it was this site. So I just think there's a lot more information to come forward, actually.
Well, we'll see. And if you're around that area, perhaps Norwood Drive, Park Avenue, Ballinard Road area, Barul Road, I just wonder what you think of this. And particularly, obviously, it seems it's down to communication that lots of the residents don't know much about it. And when does temporary mean temporary? How temporary is temporary? Text, email, call, what's anything else on your mind, by all means, to get in touch. Peter's with us first today. Hello. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murcott here. I haven't rung for a little bit of a while because I ration my calls. But just on a couple of things now. You've had a number of calls about the 20 mile an hour speed limit.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I don't think the case is remotely proven. What I do think will happen is, over and above all the things that have been sensibly said about damage to cars, you know, having to crawl along, I think that it will have the effect of making some drivers very frustrated. Now, not everybody's as much in control of their feelings as some people are. And I fear that what will happen is when they get outside that zone, that they will start taking risks. And I just think it's extraordinarily unwise, a total waste of money. And if there, and I'm sure that there is a wish to stop accidents, there is one place which would not cost anything near what it's going to cost to put these 20-mile-an-hour zones up, and that is cycling on the pavement. It's very prevalent, it's very dangerous, it's likely to kill people. Even just whizzing past, as they do, an elderly person, elderly people tend to be rather unsteady on their feet. They don't actually have to make physical contact. Just the shock of going, of somebody whizzing past them from behind, and that's very common. An elderly person is likely to lose balance because they're a bit shaky on their feet. They often feel faint and that sort of thing, dizzy. And if an elderly person falls, they're likely to incur some quite serious injury. I do wish that something would be done, because you've got open defiance of the road traffic laws. People ride up one-way streets. They just leap themselves onto the pavement and then leap themselves off, swerve across the road quite often without looking as to whether a vehicle is coming. And it's visible, there for all to see. Why nothing has been done, I know not. I believe that there is a law against cycling on the pavement. I inquired into this some time ago, 1985 law. I can think of how the penalties could work. The best penalty would be to take the bike, confiscate the bike and them having to buy it back. That would be the simplest thing, and I think that would stop it quicker than anything.
Peter, I mean, this is antisocial behaviour dressed up as.
Yep.
The trouble is, you're asking people to, you're asking them, you know, to kind of, you're appealing to the better nature of people who, it seems to me, don't have a better nature. So quite, and as you say, if there's no sanction for this, what's the point of having the law?
Well, this is it. You see. Now, I know that Douglas Borough Council, and it's been explained to me that they have a lot of commitments, and I think I'm right in saying that they can't afford the necessary wherewithal to be able to enforce it in the Strand. It is against a local bylaw, so I am informed, for cyclists to go through the Strand. On a Saturday, you see them weaving their way in and out of people, coming upon them unawares, sometimes travelling at very considerable speed, and it's certain death for anybody who just turns to go into a shop. How the cyclist behind knows what the person in front is about to do, I know not. Well, they don't know. They take a risk, and it's a very dangerous risk. But you see, the trouble is that there are bylaws in Douglas. I've inquired into this a few years ago, and I was told that I think they just haven't got the necessary, I suppose, financial wherewithal to be able to enforce it. Now, law that's not enforced brings law into disrepute. So if some of the money that's being wasted, and it is being wasted, on these 20-mile-an-hour zones without adequate reason, why they don't first of all tackle an obvious, serious danger to people, I don't know.
Now, Peter, I know you, you've been involved in law for a long time. So
yeah.
If somebody witnessed someone cycling on Strand Street, noted the time, told the council, and the council accessed their CCTV, would that be enough evidence to prosecute?
Well, I've often thought so. I mean, the fact is, if they access the CCTV without anybody, in effect, well, yes, if somebody actually told them, but I would have thought that if one looked at the CCTV, and especially on a Saturday, I mean, you'd see it's going on all the time. You see, now, they put a cycle lane, for example, along Peel Road. A year or two ago, I was coming down Peel Road. I was coming from Absolute Scaffolding, and I was walking into Douglas. Now, there are cycle lanes along there, as you know. What happened was, actually, I was looking for a way to cross the road, and more than once, I'd gone to the curb to see if it was safe to cross, and it wasn't. After the second time, a bike went past, I would have said at least 15 or 20 miles an hour. Now, just suppose I turned a few minutes later to go to the curb to see if it was safe to cross. I'd have been killed.
I just wonder what the resolution is of this, because there's plainly, first of all, it's anti-social behaviour. Secondly,
yes,
it's against the law.
Yes.
It's bad manners. It's bad behaviour. There's a law there. And if people aren't prosecuting the law, as you say, the law's in disrepute. And
yep,
the whole thing's a farce.
It is. And we come back to this original thing. I do think that the 20-mile-an-hour zone is going to create huge frustration. Now, you've already got one or two people who work on a short fuse on the roads. I mean, for example, take the island Quarter Bridge. Cars coming in from Peel don't seem to be aware of how to use an island. They just accelerate and just go straight across as if it was a clear way. They don't use the highway code, and they don't give way at the junction there. Now, it was only about yesterday, because I know that, I'm extremely cautious when I'm turning right to either go to the south or go to Peel, you know, coming in from Waterbridge Road.
Yeah.
Somebody behind me stops hooting because I'm pausing there so that I don't have a vehicle that just drives straight into me and kills me.
Yeah.
We have got, you can tell how impatient people are already by the frequency with which they are prepared to hoot people when they're simply following the highway code and following road traffic law.
Mm.
Now, you imagine what those folk are going to be like, and there is a fair number of them. What they're going to be like when they have been crawling around in second gear and damaging their vehicle, I think it's very, very foreseeable that those people are not suddenly going to exhibit great patience and great presence of mind when they get out of the 20-mile-an-hour zone. They're just going to put their foot down. And it's so obvious as to be unarguable. Anyway, they've got a very definitive piece of proof from Wales. Wales tried it. I used to live in Wales before I came here. I'm glad I didn't live there when they were on that 20-mile-an-hour job. And they had to abandon it because they found it was unworkable. Now, I would have thought, it doesn't take much brain power to think, well, when you see a jurisdiction that's gone down that route recently and has had to abandon it because they found it's become unworkable, I know it's, you don't have to be awfully bright to say, couldn't we just learn from that and drop the idea? And anyway, I thought we were supposed to be a bit short of money. I mean, we've got this 2% levy coming up on the with regard to the overspend on the health service. If we're a little bit strapped for cash, I'd have thought it was about time that we looked at what we were spending and would have just cut your cloth according to what you've got, so to speak. But there you are. That's it, Andy. That's my
feeling
for today.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Peter. Thanks for calling today. 21 minutes past 12. I'll let you into a little secret. I was coming to the radio station very early this morning, just after the sun had risen. and I was driving down Peel Road. In fact, turned left at Quarter Bridge, driving down Peel Road, and spotted on that very wide pavement on Peel Road, on the left-hand side, a man on a bicycle. He had no high vis, he had no light. He was driving at some speed down the pavement, possibly on his way home from working overnight, or maybe on his way to work. But absolutely, and as Peter said, there is a cycle lane on Peel Road, but this cyclist decided to ride on the pavement without lights, without high vis. Quite what you do in that situation, I don't know, because if people are prepared to bluntly break the law, how do you cope with that? What do you say to people? And again, as Peter said, there are people cycling willy-nilly down Strand Street on Saturdays and normally throughout the day as well. Nobody says a word, because what would happen if you pointed the transgression out to them? You probably get a mouthful of foul language. So what do you do? How do you appeal to somebody's better nature if they don't have one? I agree with yesterday's caller, says H, who said the DOI should be split into smaller departments. And Sue in Ramsey, I remember the tree-cutting bus, mustard and dull red double-decker, great idea, it worked. That's probably why they got rid of it, like everything else. Including the TT, they destroyed it by fixing what works for the Isle of Man. It's depressing these changes actually destroy all that we value if it's working. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Hi, the old bus. Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. No, just following on and agreeing with Peter, from what I'm led to believe, and it has been quoted in the paper and here on the island, that there are no rules, apparently, speed limits for cyclists. There's no way it has been imposed. So they have carte blanche to cycle anywhere on the island at whatever speed they feel like, and without any prospect of being prosecuted. So what's going to happen when they have 20 mile... We have them up here, electric bikes, and they can adjust these things to go flat out. And they are going flat out, coming down past the front of our house. You know where I live. And they're coming down past the house here. And this is a children's play area. And God help it if a child gets hit by one of them. Just the bike itself is a weight.
Yeah.
With all the various bits and pieces. But I remember reading many years ago, I don't know if it was applicable here, but it certainly was in the UK. Somebody said, why can't my child ride his bike on the pavement? And they said he can, because it was, how can I say, judged by the size of the wheels. And that's how the police at the time, now they're just, well, it's different altogether in regard policing, but going by the size of the wheels, children, this is so they could ride safely on the pavement,
yeah,
were allowed to. But anybody else with the normal size wheels had to be on the road as a road user. And of course, supposedly, applied the traffic lights and everything like that, all the legislation. But imagine everybody tootling around here 20 mile an hour and push bikes tearing past at 30, and you know, if you're going down the lakes of Bray Hill or somewhere like 40 mile an hour, 50 mile an hour, and you can laugh, you say it will never get done. I've done it in my younger days. I wouldn't dare do it now. But this is going to make a farce out of the 20 mile an hour limit. And as Peter was right, he's saying that, and you, I've seen that dozens of times. There's two cycle lanes on the Peel Road from the Brown Bobby through to the Quarter Bridge, virtually, the fire station. And the number of people you see on the pavements, both sides of the road cycling, and not only that, but they put the standard, the new standard width cycle lane up over Paul Rose Bridge and through to the warehouses there. But they're still cycling on the pavements for the pedestrians. So are they ignoring it, the powers to be, or they're ignorant of it? But the law has been broken again, and the cyclists, they seem to be getting carte blanche to do what they want.
But the thing is, Howard, that the government, I mean, there's CCTV absolutely everywhere. In Douglas, there's CCTV absolutely everywhere. Surely you would think if they want to stamp this out, if they do want to stamp it out, just a little effort put towards this could do it. They could identify the people, and presumably they're, you know, multiple transgressors, they're kind of multiple offenders who do this. People who run, and I've seen people cycling up Victoria Street on the pavement the wrong way. Okay, so
I saw a fella going down Victoria Street on a drop handlebar bike, full lycra suit, not even holding onto the handlebars.
So, if they wanted to, they could do this. And you file this under people parking in disabled bays, people going through red lights, people not picking up dog muck, littering. It's antisocial behaviour. And this is the sort of low-level stuff that gets on the, you know, the law-abiding citizens' wick.
Well, this is something I've said on your programme once before. You've just mentioned not picking dog muck up. Up to £1,000 fine. But how many people have you heard being prosecuted for it? How many people have you heard being prosecuted for something then let off with a caution? There should be a minimum fine where there is a starting fine. And, okay, you can leave it at £1,000 for maximum for multiple. But there should be a minimum fine. And that is where you may not cure it, but you certainly curtail it a bit. And if people know they're going to get fined, like your parking fines, you go onto somebody's private site and there's a £60 minimum fine, and it goes up on a daily basis, weekly basis. If that same ruling applied to the various offences that you're talking about, it might change people's train of thought.
Well, you would have thought so. All right. Thanks, Howard. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Take care. Bye now.
28 minutes past 12. Here's a message in, and this is from, let me have a look here, Craig, who just said, yes, I agree regarding the cycling. In fact, I actually took my life in my hands and stopped somebody who was cycling down Strand Street and said, you're not allowed to cycle down Strand Street. This person happened to be Eastern European, had lived here for quite a while, told me, and when I pointed it out to him, he was very apologetic. But he said, but I've seen lots of other people cycle down Strand Street. So I thought you could cycle down Strand Street. And this is the issue. If people continually see other people cycling down Strand Street or on pavements or the wrong way up one-way streets, then they'll assume that you can do it. By example, it seems okay. So how do you do that? I mean, are they serious about this? Remember, we've got umpteen cruise liners coming to Douglas throughout the summertime, and lots of those cruise line passengers will be going onto Strand Street, wandering up and down, spending their money. Can you imagine if one of those got hit by a cyclist? And what do we say then? Well, they shouldn't have been doing it. No answer, really. It's like that 80-year-old woman waiting at the airport going back to Dublin. Her impression is the Isle of Man's not very well organised. So how do you do something like that? Again, I'll just pose you the question. How do you appeal to somebody's better nature if they don't have one? For the first time, I totally agree with Peter regarding the cyclists, says H. Not much notice has been taken of the 50-mile-an-hour speed limit north of Balaff as we approach Carnage Fortnight, says 490. His words, the police should make a fortune with a camera. Also, the gang over with their high-performance cars could do with a talking to. They need to keep it on the mountain. Very nice as they are, some of us keep saying that people live on these roads and need to go about their daily lives and business. Those residents don't stand a chance with that planning objection, as we know. Who knows? It'll just go ahead. Douglas City Council is planning to get planning for that new three-leg streetlight. Is that right? Says Bill, a Douglas ratepayer. If it gets rejected, it'll be getting removed. What a great way to waste money. I own an e-bike, but never ride it, as it's not allowed on pavements. How many people could confirm if they would ride if allowed on the majority of pavements, but not to the exclusions of Strand Street? 382, that is. I don't quite know where to go with this regarding cycling on pavements. You shouldn't do it. It's not allowed. It's against the law. How many times can you say this to people who continually do it? How do you explain to somebody that you shouldn't cycle on the pavement? And some of these people are, well, how can I put it, quite well-heeled. Some of the cycles are quite expensive. Perhaps they think that gives them carte blanche to cycle on the pavements or down Strand Street. Oh, well, Juan's on now. Hi, Juan. You're not on your bike, are you, Juan?
Andy, I've been told to get on my bike how many times, I don't know. How's that new £36,000 street lamp looking from up there? Are you seeing the three legs of man quite clearly?
Oh, it's inspiring, Juan.
Inspiring. I'm sure the EasyJet flight will notice it when it's coming in. It'll be outstanding. It'll be outstanding. I was just on a Go Explore card the last couple of days and using the I hadn't done it for ages, looking at the steam railway and the MER. And I've got to say, what a great thing that we have there with the island. It's clean, it's tidy, it runs efficiently, it's joined up. All the staff seem to be engrossed in the work, and they love what they're doing. Really, really good system. I was so impressed with the steam railway and the journey and everything. And again, the importance of keeping our heritage and keeping it going. And talked to quite a lot of people while I was going along, and a lot of Canadians here at the moment spending time and enjoying it. They're loving the island. And I was talking to a coach driver who's coming over every week with a coach load of people here right the way through the season. And I said to him, what's the feedback from people for the Isle of Man? And he said they love it. They love the fact of the quietness, the tranquility, the cleanliness of the streets. And the safety. And we were comparing it with, I asked him, in comparison to other places, do they feel better coming here? And he said, compared to Dublin now, and Ireland, people want to come to the Isle of Man because the streets in Dublin at night time are now not safe. And they're having a lot of problems. So it was good to hear on that respect of people are liking the Isle of Man and the feedback coming from the coach drivers on the people being here. And again, just jumping on the importance of keeping everything. And I got off at Castletown Station and had a long conversation with Charles Gard. He was doing a video there at the moment of doing for the steam railway. And Charles was saying that he's struggling with DOI to get... he wanted to put a big, as you get in most places, a leaflet place that you can put all your leaflets of what's going on in the island, tourism-wise, for people when they're coming into the ports, the seaport, yeah. and the airport. And he says there seems to be a blockage there with DOI to actually just put one physical case there with all people's brochures in of tourism stuff.
Didn't there used to be one at the sea terminal? I'm sure there was one at the sea terminal.
I think they did. But when it comes from people like Charles who are invested in the heritage of the island, going back to what Tony Brown said the other week, that we've got a government department there that's working against these people and not letting them do simple stuff like that. So again, why have we got these hurdles within government that's, these people are very invested into doing things for the island's heritage and keeping things going. I know Charles is very much so. And why have we got these blockages? I ask myself this. We keep getting these blockages from people. Is it people that are not interested in our heritage that are in government working? I don't know, Andy. I don't know. Maybe someone can come on and answer it.
Well, you wonder, and we mentioned it the other day. I'm sure these people in the civil service don't go to work every day thinking, how can I block things? I'm sure they all want to do the right thing. So you don't know whether it's office politics or getting in the way, departmental politics or whatever it is. But at the end, as you say, something simple like putting an information stand is plain common sense. It's what you get everywhere else.
Absolutely, absolutely, totally. And looking when I was on the steam train, I'm looking at the old pictures of the old diesel locomotive that used to go on the line. And again, I think we talked about this before, you know, maybe what about an investment of a couple of carriages of diesel locomotive to bring people in from the south of the island, you know, if they're trying to dilute cars coming into the town, would that not be sensible to invest in something like that, to run on the tracks and bring people in?
Well, they tried that with the cabbage, didn't they? And nothing really worked with it, did it? I don't know where the cabbage is now.
No, I don't know. And it's such a great ride. It's a lovely ride in. I mean, that big new housing estate at Ballasalt goes right through the middle of that. They could put a stop there. It could be worked on. But again, you know, have we got the will of people to do that in there? And we're talking about bikes now and the nuisance that, you know, Peter was saying about the nuisance of push bikes. Government are encouraging people to have push bikes. So where do we go with that?
Interesting.
At least that.
All right. Okay, Juan, good to hear from you.
Take care, Andy.
23 minutes before one. E-scooters, says 719. I've just seen a middle-aged man in a camouflage jacket going really quite fast on an e-scooter on the rugby pitch side of pavement on Glencrutchery Road. I hope people in the camper vans there and at the grandstand know or have been told e-scooters are illegal on the Isle of Man. 404 dropped a note in just to say presumably the people that live on the Ballinard Road area will get a big rate reduction from Douglas City Council while they're living around a building site. 20 mile per hour, says Phil. Is there a plan showing the areas that will be covered by the limits? The MHK said it would only be residential areas. I hesitate to look on the government website as it's appalling and almost impossible to navigate. But a detailed diagram showing what will and won't be covered would surely help. A note in that just says, I think people should think of the country roads. It's like a racetrack on Laddis Road in Andreas. I've lost so many cats, and one day it could be a child. My sister's bringing her child up, and I've seen a lady pushing a pram with a dog laying against the hedge while she sees both cars go both ways. It's mad, Laddis Road in Andreas. Let's have a look here. You should concentrate on education in the schools. It's near enough all the time, youngsters who are doing everything what he says. Stop victimising all cyclists because a few, because there are more contraventions by car drivers. I was nearly run over yesterday on my bike by a speeding, L-plated young gentleman who took a corner at high speed. There's nothing wrong with the 20-mile-per-hour zones, in my opinion. They're safer for cyclists, says Phil. Well, it's always the minority, isn't it, Phil? It's always a minority of cyclists who will behave in this manner, by definition. It's always a minority of car drivers who will transgress. But we are talking about cyclists, and remember, this is stated, this is government policy now, active travel. That's walking, cycling and public transport. So cycling is going to have to get a lot more popular on the Isle of Man. More people are going to have to cycle. So it would help if, you know, everybody knew what the rules were. You don't cycle on a pavement unless you're a toddler with stabilizers. You don't cycle on a pavement. If you want to go on a pavement, get off your bike and walk with your bicycle. Even if there's nobody there, don't cycle. You're not supposed to do it. It's against the law. Some type of registration, says David, not on the bike, but on the person riding, with a number to be displayed large enough to be read on the bike. Just an idea. They should all be registered. These people who are campaigning against the proposed 20-mile-per-hour speed limits in built-up areas on the Isle of Man may be interested in a new proposal in the UK. Says Alan, the Road Safety Foundation claims the limit should be reduced to 10 miles per hour within built-up areas and 20 miles per hour on all UK single carriageway A and B roads that are currently... Is this a joke, Alan? 10 miles per hour? What's going to happen next? Somebody walking in front with a red flag. Just driven through Colby, heading south. Parked vehicles on the opposite side of the road, so my right of way. Oncoming cyclist rides out past parked vehicles onto my side of the road gave me a dirty look. Surely it was my right of way, says Elle. Another note in, hi, regarding bicycles on pavements. Yes, I agree with Peter. The bike should be confiscated. The authorities basically can't be bothered. They've no accountability, so why bother actually doing something? Yes, it's a farce. And the Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, for Home Affairs, should act or leave the job for somebody who can, says Andy. People are complaining, another one, complaining about e-bikes being dangerously ridden at speed. I have one, and they're regulated to 16 miles per hour. It's impossible to pedal any quicker, except obviously downhill.
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you, with a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations, and always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
The extended Ramsey Garden Centre is deceptively large. You'll find a warm welcome and everything from bedding and perennials, fruit and vegetables, to lighting, garden ornaments, bird baths, bird tables, and indoor and outdoor pots. Come and browse at Ramsey Garden Centre.
Discover a fabulous range of watches, gifts, and jewellery at Ramsey Art Gallery, with top brand watches from Bulova, Citizen Eco Drive, and Storm, to Acuras, Seconda, and Timex. Plus, all watch purchases come with free lifetime watch bracelet adjustment service. There's stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course, a fabulous gallery of limited edition prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite Ramsey RNLI shop.
Parker and Snell Company proudly presents Alan Bennett, Talking Heads, at the Gaiety Theatre from the 22nd to the 24th of May. Get ready for a hilarious, heartwarming and unforgettable night of stories that are as laugh-out-loud funny as they are deeply moving, with an evening at the theatre that will leave you laughing, talking and wanting more. Don't miss Alan Bennett's Talking Heads. Tickets available at villagaiety.com, the Welcome Centre, or call 600-555. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
TT 2025 is almost here, and Manx Radio Motorsport will be on the air to bring you every moment of the action.
Davey Todd, you are a senior TT winner.
Mate, that's something special right there, isn't it?
Practice and race commentary, interviews with all the top riders, along with the latest weather and travel updates. We'll also bring you the pre-TT practice and race sessions at the Valan Circuit.
Listen at motorsport.manxradio.com, our smartphone app, DAB and AM 1368.
It all starts tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, with our pre-TT coverage getting underway from 6.
Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world. Brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance.
The Man in Line with Andy Wink.
16 minutes before one. Cycling on pavement should be okay if you follow the share with care principle. Funny how the island of car drivers keep having a go at the more healthier, less polluting, carbon-friendly option of cycling. There's a ridiculous amount of cars here now, where it's mostly slow-moving anyway due to all of them queuing up behind each other. How many cyclists have killed people on the Isle of Man compared to cars? Says Phil, and Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes, there's a war between the car and the cyclist, which I think has been going on since about 1880. So, plus ça change.
How's your cycling these days?
Oh, very rough, very rough. Yes, I used to be able to zoom around on my bike. It was absolutely marvellous. I had a specially built bike which had an Ex Works Doors racing frame, and boy, could it go! It was marvellous. You know, I was breaking the speed limit quite a lot, I should think, on that, albeit not on the pavement, you know, on the open road.
Okay.
But coming back to the things that Jim was just talking about, this business about Charles Gard not being able to put tourist information in station, yeah, and such like. Now, this sounds, you know, like an interdepartmental problem. You know, of the whose desk is it anyway kind of thing.
Yeah.
In that, you know, the station, yes, and the, you know, and the sea terminal, railway station, sea terminal, etc. You know, that's all infrastructure. Okay, fine, Isle of Man transport. Tourism promotion, visit Isle of Man, which lives in the Department of Economic Development. And, of course, the Department of Economic Development's Visit Isle of Man people are rather more interested in whatever it is they're interested in, rather than basic things like putting a thing with some tourist information at a station or something like that. So I think that's very much the sort of thing that, well, Joni Farragher, I think, is the departmental member of infrastructure who deals with Isle of Man transport. I don't know whether she's the one who deals with the sea terminal. It might be Laurie Hooper now. But anyway, a chat with one of those people, I think, would sort of get round the problem. But I think that's one of the things, as I think has been discussed about the Department of Infrastructure, that it's taken over all these bits, and then bits have been farmed off to other people, and then one bit doesn't talk to another bit doesn't talk to another bit, and other people, and these bits guard their turf. Quite jealous.
And that's what the general public find incomprehensible. Bonzo,
yes.
that you know, palpable common sense doesn't seem to trump departmental feuding.
Yes, and even as an old civil servant, I find that sort of pretty remarkable, but not in the best way either. But you know, when has logic ever really permeated Isle of Man government? Show me an example. There aren't that many. But on another matter, as June was talking about the idea of a commuter service from the south to the south to Douglas.
Yeah.
Gordon Bennett, again, plus ça change. Me and other people have been lobbying for that on and off for the past 20 years. And indeed, that was one of the thoughts, that there was going to be a metro-type system when the rails were replaced for during the Irish scheme, when they were laying the pipes. And I seem to remember the people did a questionnaire, and 2,000 or 3,000 people said, yes, please, can we have a commuter train? But I think that probably backpedaled on that one because of the fact that the corporation had only just built Shaw's Brow, and borrowed, I think, a fair amount of money so to do.
Yeah.
So the idea of, oh, let's have a commuter service that takes people off the road so they don't drive their cars into town so they can't put them in the Shaw car park, which we spent loads of money providing, no, that wasn't going to be a goer. So,
but surely that would fit in with the active travel proposals of getting more people onto public transport, particularly as Ballasalla seems to be ballooning in size.
Well, that would... now, but of course, you know, we're talking about the situation 20 years ago, and so the situation of 20 years ago has led to where we are now. Now, whether it will be, because of course, nothing's going to be decided until after the election, you know, whether the next government will then go, yeah, actually, it's about time we did that, along with some other things. Well, one would hope that would be things that go into their manifestos.
Hmm. Well, we'll see. Okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, Bonzo.
And you, bye.
Is foot and mouth disease still ongoing in Europe? Will there be rigorous checks on the boats and planes to protect the Isle of Man, says Mary. We're watching it carefully. And Jerry said the minister was talking about implementing traffic calming, including crossings, road bumps. Could you get the zebra crossing painted by the Freemasons Hall on Woodburn Road as the markings are worn down? I raised this with the DOI a month ago, but sadly nothing's been done to upgrade it, says Jerry. Anybody found out what the cameras on the Matrix signs are for? Anybody spotted them? Good points, says Ian, made regarding government ministers thinking they know better than others. I'm minded of the phrase too big for their boots, because I've long thought that our MHKs and government ministers fall into this category, says Ian. Well, we did elect them, didn't we? I mean, we did elect them into positions of authority, so surely they are allowed to wield that authority. I'm just saying that's what they're there for. So if we give them that job. We can't really complain when they do that job. It's their interpretation of the job. And talking of which, tomorrow we've got a former MHK, former MLC, former Douglas councillor, and now a Douglas councillor again, all wrapped up into one. David Cratney is on Man in Line tomorrow. Recently, back in Douglas City Council, he was in Douglas Council years ago, became an MHK, became a minister, was the Minister of Fun. Do you remember? The Tourism Minister. When we had a Tourism Minister, he was it, the face of tourism for years and years and years. Became an MLC, then decided to step away. And he's back now representing the Manx Labour Party. David Cretney, MHK, is ex-MHK, ex-MLC, now Douglas City Councillor, is on Man in Line tomorrow. And a week today, the leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson, will be on.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
I agree.
The Journey to a Dream podcast isn't just about fast bikes. It's also about generational adrenaline, how to prepare for the mountain course, and caffeine.
I must say coffee's a strong point on a morning, you can imagine.
You could just got it on a drip. Do you have problems sleeping, Daryl?
On the night before a meeting, yes, definitely.
If you've a plan in your head as to what you're going to be thinking about at a given point in the track, it'll help you.
Me? I work in an office. You'd never guess,
no,
would
you? No, you don't. Yeah, really? Don't,
yeah. What did you think? Model.
The Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, is available now on the Manx Radio Motorsport website or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thanks to the correspondent. He just sent me a photo about Switzerland turning train tracks into solar power plants. I says, thanks for that. Speed cameras would suffice. The fines would pay for them in built-up areas around schools. And that's the point. If we are going to have a 20-mile-an-hour zone in a place, then if it's the law, it's the law. Just put me straight on this. If it's the law, it's the law, and then it will be an offence to transgress. Or is it just an advisory? Is it just a smiley face saying you're going too fast? Because if they want to make it an offence and prosecute people who get it wrong, then surely put a camera on it. Take people's photo, their number plate, and prosecute them. Then once a few people get fined, everybody will stop doing it. It's just like going through a red light. Nobody goes through a red light because you get prosecuted for going through a red light. It's not what you're supposed to do. It's against the law. So if this 20-mile-per-hour limit does come in, is it going to be policed? Is it going to be enforced? Regarding what Howard said, well said, do anything but what's needed, ask for a report. The TOI 20-mile-an-hour limit. Where in the pink book is all this costed? Who agreed the budget in Treasury for the expenditure as a priority over education and providing money to the family library? Shame on the people who can't prioritise what children need for education, says Andy. Summer's here. I'm hoping and praying that Ramsey Town Commissioners clean the beach in front of the lifeboat station. Last year, they allowed a 50-ton digger to park on the beach all summer. Hopeful Big John. I can't believe all the moaning about 20 mile per hour in residential areas. It's already like that in most estates. I'm all for it, and an overall limit too, as the de-restricted areas get abused, says Gary in Port St Mary. How will the AMPR camera deal with 14,000 odd motorbikes only with a rear number plate? A waste of resources, says Andy. And as regards branches hitting buses, it's the same on the Peel to Ramsey routes. Recently, two buses have been in the UK recently for repairs, all because of the laziness as regards the DOI managers. Cut the trees and the buses won't get affected. All those people on Ballinard Road who are objecting to Douglas City Council using their own land as a temporary building compound, don't they realise that all our houses caused a nuisance to somebody when in construction? The council or their builders will have to operate from somewhere. Is this just NIMBYism, says 715 Dewan. Why are we getting a skateboard park in Douglas? The children will be skateboarding through Strand Street too. It's bad enough with all the bicycles. So I've not quite seen skateboards in Strand Street. Have you seen skateboards? We see cyclists on the main road. on the Peel Road, the Peel to Douglas Road, on the pavement all the time. Just a quick word about TT Marshalls. Till 5 o'clock today and 9 till 5 tomorrow. You can go and see the TT Marshalls Association at the marquee behind the Mike Hellwood Centre by the TT Grandstand. If you're interested in signing up to be a Marshal, you can do so online at iomttmarshalls.com, where online training courses are provided, or visit the association today till 5 and tomorrow 9 till 5. And on Bank Holiday Monday, 8 till 6. Oh, somebody who loves the TT will be on Man in Line tomorrow. David Cretney on Man in Line tomorrow. That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. WINT.